Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, Sharks fans. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 37. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude,
what's up?
How's it going, dude?
You got some 37s?
Not my favorite player tonight, Brad Lukowich.
Brad Lukowich is one.
Another 37 would be, oh man, I feel like there's a real important one.
There's one that of the last couple years that you probably should remember.
37 in the last couple years.
Actually, last year.
Last year?
There was a number 37.
It's not Craig Revay.
No, it's not Craig Revay. He was 52.
I don't know, dude.
It's Curtis Brown was number 37.
I thought you said important.
Hey, now.
Okay.
He was an important penalty killer.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, nice guy.
He's a real nice guy.
Real nice. Now he's playing in the Swiss League. Too nice, I guess.
Yeah, there's good cheese there.
Grant Stevenson, dude. Rob Gaudreau.
Nice. Rob Gaudreau, I remember seeing the hat trick at the Cow Palace.
Stephane Matteau.
Yes.
Ville Peltonen.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some good ones. Kipper was 37 for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah. So lots of 37s, lots of sort of checking line is 37 for whatever reason.
We could have used some of those guys tonight.
We could have, although the new Travis Moan looked pretty good.
Sure. Top line guy all of a sudden.
Top line Travis
He's
Moan.
He's on the first line. Not exactly where I would prefer to see him, but I guess, hey, dude, 2 points are 2 points.
That's right. When I heard about the Moan trade, I didn't exactly pencil him in next to Joe Thornton.
Hey. He's the third star tonight.
But Sharks played the Wild twice in the last week. Both times they coughed up a 3-goal lead in the third period. Well, I guess they didn't actually have a 3-goal lead in the third period tonight, but
it was pretty well into the second period.
Yeah. I mean, they basically snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory on Thursday night, and tonight they almost did the exact same thing.
You kind of like watching the game tonight when it was 3-0. And then went to 3-1. I thought, this can't happen again. This isn't really happening again.
It's ridiculous.
Then it's 3-2. You're like, this is happening again. And then Mahalik scores that amazing goal against Backstrom, who I guess, like, if I had to hear them say he likes to go to his knees one more time, I was laughing out loud.
I think he worked in Times Square.
Yeah, insert joke here.
Right.
Backstrom's on his knees again. I was like, oh my. But so he goes, Mahalik's goal was just crazy.
Right.
4-2, and I'm like, okay, finally, the karma is on our side, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
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 Then Owen Nolan has to score his 400th and 401st goal.
Dude, what did we ever do to him?
I guess trading him to Toronto. I guess that's what you do. That's how you piss somebody
off.
He
should be tanking it for us.
Yeah.
Do it for the... Take one for the former team.
206 of his 400 goals were in a Sharks uni.
Oh, my God. Dude, there were 2 points or 2 points. Listen, and if we can get a win, we can get a win. But there were so many things about tonight that just was irritating. The lack of physical play.
Yeah. Yeah. We were looking at the stats after the game. The Sharks had 15 hits, which is a pretty low number of hits. The Wild had 29 hits. They almost doubled us in hits. So if we go down the hit column, and sometimes they record some stuff that isn't a hit that should be, and vice versa, but Jody Shelley, no hits. Alexei Semenov, no hits. Douglas Murray, no hits.
Inexcusable for those three guys to have no hits recorded tonight. That's the only reason why they're out there.
Right.
Is to lay a body on somebody. I don't remember a big hit, a single big hit. Do you?
Not by the Sharks on somebody else.
No. And how is Owen Nolan, old grumpy old man Owen Nolan, with, he's got Jack Lemmon standing next to him, and
he's got the gray beard going.
He's got the gray beard. He looks old and crusty, and I think he's wearing "Oops, I just crapped my pants" underneath his Minnesota Wild jersey. He looks just really unhappy.
He does, but he always sort of looked kind of salty all the time.
I guess so, but he's standing there untouched on both those goals, untouched, just right in front of the net.
I know.
There's no excuse for that.
Semenov is on the ice for both.
The
second one, it was Luko and Boyle. But dude, it was Semenov and Vlasic on the first
one. We've
been
kind of taking it easy on him because he's been improving tonight. He was awful.
Yeah, not good.
Terrible, terrible tonight. And Luko made two just terrible mistakes back to back, dude.
Mm-hmm.
as a defenseman.
Yeah,
dude,
we need
as an amateur defenseman at the top of your game, dude, in the amateur leagues. Can you explain Luco's blunders there that cost the fourth goal?
With the emphasis on amateur, I think he just crapped the bed, man. I mean, he's behind the net, and there's a lot of like stuff, people fanning on the puck. I remember Setoguchi having an open shot in between the circles fan. It's like there was a couple of those tonight. It was strange, like more so than I, you know, so much that I'd notice. Of course, you know, you got pressure on you, got people breathing down your neck. You're gonna not hit the puck cleanly. Sometimes it happens, but it seemed more tonight than usual.
What I don't understand is when you've got the Wild player behind the net, and Luco leaves the post and starts collapsing on him behind the net. Why would you make that play? Why do you leave the guy in front of the net to make a play?
You make that guy as long as there isn't a guy in the slot. Unfortunately, there was a guy in the slot.
Unfortunately, he was standing right next to him.
Right.
And so now you've got the guy there alone who just scored like 6 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad play, and luckily it didn't cost us 2 points. And I don't care. You know, I don't care if the Wild get a point. Go ahead, get a point. I'd love to play you in the first round. Losers.
Yeah.
But
and I mean, they pulled some wild defense action there in the second and third, and boy, that was some snoozerific hockey, I gotta say.
What do you think about the new lines tonight?
With seven players out, I mean, you do what you gotta do, right? That means you gotta play Patty at center, which means you gotta move him off the top line, you gotta move somebody else up there. I guess they'd rather play Chichu and Thornton again, see if they can get some chemistry there, and keep Setoguchi with Marlowe, because Seto hasn't looked all that fantastic lately.
I actually kind of like that third line, the Marlowe Seto. I'm jumping on the McGinn bandwagon, especially in the first period. He was very present. He crashes the net. He got some shots off. He was noticeable tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're seeing, you know, McGinn is definitely in the plans for the future.
Absolutely.
He's going to be a top nine forward on this team next year somewhere. And
I think so.
It's kind of cool to see him out there right now, even though likely he shouldn't be. Although if he plays well, maybe he can, you know, wriggle his way into the lineup for the playoffs. But not bad. And I like that Marlowe got dropped down. You got to have three good lines, and finally they're giving into that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to roll the three lines. You're going to wear people out.
Yeah, it's true. Although I like the way Moen's playing.
I like Travis Moen.
Yeah, me too.
I never would have expected him to be on the top line, but he was effective. He was in front of the goal on Joe's first goal.
Mm-hmm.
And Mikko Koivu, did he take
a
Sominex or something on his way back down? Moen just blew right by him. Boy, how do you not get benched for that?
Yeah.
That's bad news.
The funny thing is that's pretty much exactly what happened to Joe Pavelski in that Chicago game when Chris Versteeg picked up the garbage and scored shorthanded. So it happens.
Just fell asleep.
Yep. Koivu fell asleep. Didn't think you have to play defense when you're on the power play. Oops.
I guess. Dude, we'll take the points, though. We're still tied with Detroit.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly how I was expecting that game to end, but we'll take the points. And
how about your boy Erhoff?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think he looked that good tonight. Although he was a plus two because he was on the ice for some goals, but I thought he made some bad plays. I thought the Minnesota first goal was maybe not exactly his fault, but he certainly was by the goal line, two guys in front of the net, and Erhoff wasn't engaging either of them. So
I like that at the end of the game, he put his head down.
That's right.
He blew by the defenseman, who's probably still standing there wondering what happened.
Actually, it was a forward.
Oh, well.
That he blew past, yeah.
He went right by him, and he top-shelfed it. Mm-hmm. So, good man.
Nice.
Win the game, baby.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he completely...
A Klaus Toller on the house for everybody.
Did he redeem himself completely? I'm not sure, but that certainly was a way to try and make it all back.
Oh, dude, I say complete total redemption. 2 points. Good. 2 points.
Okay. All right. That's good. Well, the good thing that the Sharks are sort of in a slump, because one thing you wrote about on the blog, which is sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, is that a lot of the other top teams, there's a lot of separation between the top teams right now in both the East and the West, and all of these teams, this huge pool of teams that are scrabbling for the 7th and 8th spot, and it seems like a lot of these teams, like the Sharks, are looking a little bored, and you wrote about it on the podcast.
And we're not alone. It's like the top teams in the NHL are sort of like Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin. in the 80s, which was in the early season, they made some great movies.
Right.
They were totally at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're making Daddy Daycare cheaper by the dozen five, you know, some sort of terrible Pink Panther remake.
Norbit.
Yeah, they're bored. They're cashing their checks right now. They're waiting for the next Man with Two Brains to come along, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, we're not alone. Detroit went to overtime tonight with Phoenix, and they've really been scrapping, and they got killed last week twice. They got murdered at home by Columbus 8-2.
Yeah.
And they went to Nashville and lost 8-0.
Yeah, that hurts.
8-0. So they've got injury problems too. Hossa, Liljia, Holmstrom out. Their goalies suck. You know, but I'm sure fans over there are feeling the same way. But from the outside, we're looking at that team going, ah, oh, come on. You know, they're going to be fine.
Right.
And I'm sure that they're looking at us the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks have a lot of injuries. They're going to be fine. Boston lost again tonight.
It's seven guys out. Let me say it again. Sharks had seven guys out tonight that might have normally played.
Important players, too.
Right.
Really important guys that maybe aren't top-line guys, but, you know, it makes an impact. Obviously, we're seeing the impact. But the Bruins, the Boston Bruins, they've got no excuse, dude.
They got everybody still.
They've got everybody.
Yeah.
They even added two players. They added Monitor and Recchi, and they're I think 4-7-1 in their last 12.
Yeah. I believe I had that one. I said they were coming back down to earth a little bit.
Not good. They're really ripe for the picking. You've got to think that if you're a team like Pittsburgh that's going to get the 8 seed,
mm-hmm.
that's playing well right now. They're playing. They finally have energy and jump back in their game.
Bill Guerin, baby. He's gold. He's gold. Solid gold, Bill Guerin.
If you're a Bruins fan, I think you have legitimate reason to be concerned.
Like, I think
you've got a reason to be concerned. This could maybe not turn out well for you. And especially if your prize for being the first seed is going to be drawing Pittsburgh or the Rangers.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
Washington Capitals has been struggling too, although they won tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They put up a good fight against Pittsburgh on the weekend, only to lose in the shootout. They've lost. They've lost four in a row at home.
Yeah.
So
and Calgary made the two biggest trades of the day, but they're certainly the ones that seem to add the most value.
Dude, what's their record since the trade?
They won in impressive fashion the first night, and then they've lost ever since. Right,
three in a row.
They've lost three in a row now.
Three in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Olli Jokinen. Way to go.
Yeah. It's not like they've played some good teams either. They lost in Atlanta.
Oh.
They got housed in Carolina. They lost tonight. I think they lost tonight to a good team tonight. I think they lost to New Jersey tonight. But three losses. They are missing guys too. They're missing Bertuzzi. They're missing Rene Bork. I think they're missing Lankow. I'm not sure if those guys played tonight or not, dude. I know that you're checking right now.
Yeah.
But
they lost 3-2 to New Jersey tonight. That's right.
Do you see if those guys playing?
I can look. But go on.
So either whether they played or not, you know, winning in Atlanta and Carolina for a team like that, they should be pulling off some wins there. They've got some tough games coming up too. So Calgary is really kind of muddling around too. So the Sharks are not alone as far as having some late season struggles.
Yeah. Lanko played, but he only played 10 minutes. So
we'll see, dude. I think that...
Actually, no, I take that back. He played 17 minutes. I was looking at the wrong number.
Once these teams get healthy, they'll be back. I still think the top four teams in the West are the top four teams in the West. And it's hard to totally buy into Vancouver, even though they're playing real well.
They are. And their top line looked really, really good
when they
played us. And they beat the hell out of us.
Yeah, they did. I don't know. There's just something about them. I feel like when it gets to the playoffs, they're just not going to be able to hack it when it comes down to it. But, you know, hey, a 4-5 meeting between Vancouver and Chicago.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch
great.
That.
Yeah, I'll watch that, and that'll go seven, and they can beat each other up, and I'd love to be standing there waiting to see who comes out of that, because whoever comes out, you know, if we draw Nashville, then smiles all around on the podcast, dude.
That's right. Well, sometimes Vancouver sort of seems like the Chicago Cubs of hockey occasionally, right? They sort of
choke,
love to disappoint, but they are built the
they
way...
They pee on their hands like Moises Alou?
They might do that. They might do that, but they seem to be built the right way, and they got great goaltending and good D, and that's usually the way that you can go deep in the playoffs. So.
But Matt Sundin is a winner, dude.
Brad Lukowich was the unfortunate...
Nothing on that one?
Wait,
Matt Sundin is a winner? Nothing. You give me nothing on that? Because he's a proven winner.
He's proven to make a lot of money.
He's a winner in the negotiating game.
That's right. Well, the Sharks this week, you look at the schedule, it looks, you know, St. Louis, they got the Los Angeles Kings and the suddenly hapless Ducks. Looks like three more wins, but maybe not.
Dude, this is going to be tough because the Blues are 2 points out. They're like 6-3-1 in their last 10. They won tonight.
Yeah.
I think they believe that team, Andy Murray's got that team believing that they're going to make the playoffs.
Right.
And they ended up not trading Tkachuk. They've got McDonald back. I think we're going to have everything we can handle and more from the Blues, who they've given us real problems this year.
Right.
And
they have. Absolutely.
If the Sharks don't play physical Thursday night, we're not just going to lose. We're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Because the Blues are a very physical team. So I'm concerned about that game. I think the Kings are also another team that's playing hard. And, you know, I think they're going to be playing with something to prove as far as, you know, that Justin Williams is the missing piece. And that, I was working up to that.
Yeah, nice, dude. He's the answers to all their problems.
The Kings game might be not as difficult because it's at home and they're in a little bit of a spin. But
well, I got an email about the Ducks, so let me read the email.
All right.
So it's from our Wings fan in Sharks land, Chris. He says, "Dudes, after Colorado fell off the hockey map, I can't think of anyone that I'd like to see follow their lead than the Ducks. Do you think there's any truth to the rumor that the Ducks didn't think they could compete in the playoffs and therefore decided to break things up? I find it hard to believe, but when you consider who the top four seeds will be in the West, who knows?" That's his first question. He's got another question that we'll get to in a moment. So, okay. You think the Ducks just folded the tent there, dude?
Well, I think they folded the tent, but what I had heard being talked about, and I think it was talked about on NHL Live, was that ownership was putting a lot of pressure on the GM to cut payroll. Mm. And I mean, maybe it was motivated by the fact that they couldn't compete, but we were talking about how if we had to play the Ducks at the eighth seed as they were, that would have been really, really difficult matchup for anybody. And were they going to win the cup? No, but they would have been a really hard matchup for anyone. Mm-hmm. No one would want to see them as a lower seed. So,
but then they traded Paulson and Moan.
Yeah. So now they're considerably weaker. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it was a reflection of them thinking that they couldn't be competitive. I think it was a reaction to cutting some payroll, and this is Murray's chance to make his own stamp. I wouldn't be stunned if Carlisle got fired in the offseason.
Really?
It's a chance for him. He's bringing in his own players. Yeah. He's already remade the team and its personality. You know, if you trade Carlisle and you trade Pronger and you're going to just put your own stamp on the team,
yeah,
he's already about two steps towards that.
That's true.
I would enjoy it very much if the Ducks were horrible.
And it would be pretty cool. And reportedly, he wanted to, I think one GM was talking thinly veiled about the Ducks saying that, trying to get Pronger, it might have been Washington, saying that they wanted to remake their entire team with one trade. And I think for Pronger, the Ducks wanted literally four good prospects in a first round pick or something. Like, they wanted the farm. They wanted everything that they had in the minor league system. And that's why Pronger wasn't traded, because I guess, you know, Murray said, "Hey, I'll just ask for everything. Why not?"
Smart. Why not? You should. It was possible that someone might have blinked and gone for it. But if he had been able to trade him to Boston for like Kessel and Lashoff and Nomar Garciaparra, like then, you know, he would have been laughing all the way to the bank. But I don't think it hurt to try.
Yeah.
Why not?
They tried.
They will. But hey, I'm all for the Ducks going down the toilet.
Me too. And the Pacific Division now sucks. They're the only division in the NHL with only one playoff team currently, and that's the Sharks.
Weren't we just talking about a month ago where people were posing the Pacific Division was the best?
Yeah, now they're the worst.
You might make a real strong case that they're the worst.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris has another question, which dovetails in
one
nice
question per Red Wings fan, dude. I'm putting my foot down.
This isn't about the Red Wings, though. And it dovetails in perfectly with my blog post today, dude.
All right, fine.
He says, "What are your thoughts on changing fighting in the NHL? Heard about requiring them to keep their helmets on and some talk about banning it altogether. On the surface, both of those ideas seem silly to me. Let them fight. I think many would agree that it helps the game. Plus, it's the main reason why girls go to the games." Well, that's absolutely true, of course. Chicks love the fights.
They do.
Just like they love the long ball. But you know, I wrote a post on today. I don't think fighting should be taken out of the game. I'm sure that it's going to take a long time in most GMs. I think Brian Burke said that he would fight anybody that wanted to take fighting out of the game, which I thought was a pretty awesome quote.
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Can you see him and Don Waddell dropping the gloves?
I could. And Brian Burke would crush him like a bug.
Can you see Lou Lamoriello dropping the toupee and going out and fighting with George McPhee?
But anyway, but about fighting, they did talk about the GM meetings today. There was a little news about that. They're going to try and cut down on the, what did they call it? The
instigator?
Yeah, they're going to try to do some instigator stuff, and they're going to try to cut down on the agreed upon beforehand fights, like fighting right on the face-off, that kind of stuff. Sort of their dramatic, pre-arranged fights. I don't have too much of a problem with that.
It's consensual, baby.
I know, but it does break up the game. It seems kind of, I mean, there's a lot of theater to it. It just seems kind of stupid.
So?
I mean, you look at one clip on YouTube and you see the guys square off and they start punching each other, and then something happens and they both stop punching and they don't, and they just let go of each other because the linesman sort of right there, and then they look at each other again and then they grab each other again and start fighting again. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous. It was like a soap opera where somebody yelled cut.
I think that you talk about it in your blog post, too, about the code of fighting. Mm-hmm. And there's a gentleman's code to this that not everybody plays by, which I think why people have problems with people like Sean Avery, who, you know, maybe take some cheap shots and don't always play by the rules. But you know, these guys who are paid to be enforcers, I mean, eventually, is this going to cost people some jobs here?
I think it will. Absolutely. You know, I said in the blog post that maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for it not to make sense for teams to have a guy on the roster that does nothing but fight. I mean, maybe it wouldn't make sense. You know, I it wouldn't bother me to have the game to be in a state where it's not a good idea to have Bugard on the ice 3 minutes a game so he can drop the gloves against whoever's there. I'd rather see a good hockey... not that those guys are horrible hockey players, because there's plenty of guys in the minors willing to take their place, but there's better hockey players out there to fill that role. It wouldn't bother me too much. And as much as I like Jody Shelley, it kind of pains me to say that, but it's the truth. I'd rather have guys like Ryan Clough and Aginla and Morrow and those guys who are willing to drop the gloves if the situation merits it, but they're not just going to go out and look to blow up somebody and drop the gloves and earn their paycheck for the night. You know what I mean? That seems excessive. And the other thing that I think they wanted to address in the GM's meeting is they're going to try to do more instigator rules, which would hopefully get rid of this new rash of things where someone gets hit legally but hard, and then someone goes up and they fight because he's mad that someone got hit legally. I think that's pretty damn cheesy. I understand you want to step up for your teammate and all this kind of stuff, but I think they should do the instigator. The way you get back at a guy like that is you hit him clean the next time he's on the ice. He puts his head down the neutral zone, then you pop him. That's what you do. You don't just go up there and start punching him. You got to call the instigator in that situation. I definitely believe in that.
There's something to be said for the theatrics of the fights that, you know, people, the crowd loves it.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask just a layman hockey fan, someone who really maybe doesn't know much about the sport, and you would maybe ask them to identify five things that they know about hockey, I'd say, you know, most of them might even bring up the Hansen brothers from Slapshot,
yeah,
which is all about the fighting.
That's right.
So it's a very identifiable piece of the puzzle and the success of the NHL, and I think they have to be really careful here that, you know,
mm-hmm.
hockey's back, it's popular, and you're going to eliminate one of the most popular elements of the game for the fans, that there could be some backlash there. And they certainly are not going to be able to have a hockey team in Kentucky, because that's all they'll want to see.
That's right.
Dude, there were some good fights in that Mississippi River Kings game. Yeah. P.S., dude, Mississippi River Kings. First place.
Nice.
First place. We'll be having some River Kings updates as they go through the playoffs. I'll gladly update you on my River Kings, baby.
Good times, dude. Well, this is normally the kind of the show where we would do the moving on up segment, but like the previous segment, like Lemieux Watch 2009, we've had to retire it because we're past the trade deadline. So we're going to have to go back to the tried and true working bit that everybody loves, and that's Jody Shelley singing Broadway tunes, right?
Dude, that sounds great. You've got a recording?
I'm ready. You ready?
All right. What's this what's this song from?
This is from Mamma Mia. So I'm sure Jody Shelley's a big fan of ABBA.
What's it about?
It's I think it's about Dean Lombardi.
Dean Lombardi. Yes. All right, it's called Dancing Queen.
The GM of the Los Angeles
Kings. Yes. Okay, here we go. dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17. Trade machine, Justin Williams is as healthy as Forsberg's spleen. You can trade, you can deal, peddle your players away. Why not Eric Cole, you dumbass? You are a dancing queen. Thank you. Fuki Fuji.
It's not bad. Maybe that segment does need to come back, you know, more periodically.
I thought he sounded pretty good on that.
He has his charms. Jody Schilling can sing. I think it's time for Sharks karaoke night. You know what I'm talking about?
Dude, bring it. I wonder what Thomas Pleahall will bust out.
Yeah, I heard they said in the telecast tonight that he likes a Czech metal band, and it had like a really funny name. I wish I could remember it, but
I know what it's called.
What?
Das First Period Penalty.
Das First Period Penalty. I think that was the name of
or
it.
Or also known as Unstaubitz. Those two guys are good for a penalty in the first period every game.
That's right. Well, let's get to the shootout where we talk about various and sundry news items around the NHL. First up is we have to talk about Guy Carboneau fired as the coach of the Montreal Canadiens. Panic move. Is it a panic? Is it like
it's
a
not,
blatant panic
Because it's not Bob Gainey's fault at all.
Right.
He'll never get fired. I mean, you know, he's a god up there, right?
That's true.
So... But he's as accountable for the mess up there as Guy Carboneau.
Yeah.
Well, you could say Guy Carboneau lost the ear of that team, but you know, Gainey can't pull the trigger on anything, dude.
Yeah.
If they really had the chance to get LeCavalier for a bunch of, you know, what's the big deal about Christopher Higgins? I know. Christopher Higgins and the mafioso Kostitsyns.
Yeah.
For one of the best players in the league, and you're balking at it?
I mean, a French-Canadian LeCavalier.
Get it done, dude.
I mean, he would be an instant god.
It's over now, right? Yeah. I mean, I think his no trade kicks in July 1st.
They might be able to make a trade at the draft, maybe?
I guess, but they blew it. This was their chance. Tampa was probably going to be willing to do it. They choked. Mm-hmm. His job should be on the line, too, if you're asking me, a French-Canadian.
Second item. This actually is a little bit about the Sharks. The Kyle McLaren trade that we talked about last week to the Philadelphia Flyers was waived or was nullified because McLaren didn't pass a physical because of the wrist injury that literally everybody on Earth knew about.
I feel bad for him.
I feel bad for him too, but the thing is, why would you make him pass a physical? You know he's hurt already. What's the problem? I mean, you know when you're trading for him, oh, wait a minute, he's hurt? It's like, come on, man, he's missed 35 games in a row and now you're going to avoid the trade because he's hurt? You knew that going in. It just seems like it's like the Flyers. Did the Flyers suddenly get cold feet and they needed a fail safe so they could say, we don't want him after
Maybe
all?
Maybe it was worse than they thought. Maybe, you know, the Sharks kind of upsold it like he's
That's just
ready to come back.
That's a Paul Holmgren cheesy move to
Dude?
Me. Yeah.
Dude.
I mean, I like Kyle McLaren. I want to see him play in the NHL again.
He could have made a real impact on that team in the playoffs, potentially. You know, I thought last week I talked about how it could have been a steal for them, but... Looks like we've got Big Kyle back. Who knows? Weirder things have happened the way things are going.
We
Big Mac Attack might be on the team.
That's right in the
playoffs. How about he scores the Stanley Cup winning goal and he turns around and gives Duck Wilson the finger?
All right, last news item. Tampa Bay Lightning. They're getting close to being last in the league. Are they dumping it to try and get Tavares?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Which is why they'll lose the lottery. The last 2 years since the lottery's been intact, the worst teams haven't gotten the top pick.
I think there's no way they're doing that because that'd be way too smart.
They were talking about this too the other day on NHL Live, that they were kind of rolling down the Lightning schedule.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Islanders, and they're like, the Islanders are playing well. And the guy was getting all upset. I can't remember who was talking about it. He said, I'm pissed because the Islanders, or it must have been Billy Jaffe, right? Because he's mm-hmm. the voice of the Islanders. The Islanders are actually going to play their way out of one of the top two picks, aren't they, at this point?
That would be pretty bad.
They're going to.
That would be so stupid.
And Atlanta's playing well, too. So Tampa Bay, their schedule's kind of brutal. They're going to go in the toilet, and they're going to be in the mix for that top pick. and they'll probably take Tavares, and they're even dumber.
Right, and then they'll trade him for Emminger, for Steve Emminger again.
To get Emminger back, because yeah. He's super valuable.
But anyway, that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. You can check our blog out at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and make sure to tune in again next week for more Sharks podcasting goodness. See you later.
Trade machine.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.